Really?
Oh my God, I have so much to tell you.
Really?
Yes, Tom Cruise and Katie Holmes, they had a baby and they named it Suri. And then Brad Pitt and Angelina Jolie, they had a baby too and they named it Shiloh. And both babies are amazing.
Great. What's new with you?
I just told you.
Gotham Sports Network presents NYG Weekly.
NYG Weekly, Ethan Weiss here with you once again. Before we get into everything, you know we got to take care of the housekeeping. So first things first, you can follow us on Twitter. You can follow me at EthanGSN. Go ahead and follow Weiss at NYG Daily and follow the blog at GothamSN. Subscribe. We're everywhere. iTunes, Audioboom, Google Play, Stitcher Radio, Spotify. Smash the subscribe button. Unsubscribe, resubscribe, rate us 5 stars. Say something nice about us on the iTunes comment section. And this episode wouldn't be complete without our sponsors. This week's sponsor is Overlay Fantasy Sports. I've been telling you about them for a few weeks now. Unfortunately, last week, I did not win any money. Week one, when I played, I entered the $22 contest, and it came away with $180. So if you're sick and tired of losing on FanDuel and on DraftKings to the Sharks that have over 100 lineups in each contest, they run their algorithms and their spreadsheets, they mass upload everything. It's no fun. You never win. Overlay is the new DFS game for you. It's a start-sit game for fantasy sports. They're the home of the single-entry GPP. Let me tell you how it works. All you need to do is finish in the top 10% of the field, and you win 9 times your buy-in. So if you enter the $22 game like I enter every week, you can win $180. All you do is pick 12 players you think are going to outscore their matched opponent in total fantasy points. Usually 8-4 is good enough to cash. Sometimes 7-5 if people are having a bad week, or 9-3 depending on the week. Let's go ahead. Let me pull up some of the matchups this week. We've got some interesting ones. We've got Lamar Jackson versus Deshaun Watson, Dan Jones versus Marcus Mariota, James White versus Sony Michel, Jordan Howard versus Miles Sanders, Michael Thomas versus Allen Robinson. I'm actually a big fan of the ones where you got two teammates facing off against each other. So the object is to stay consistent, finish in the money until the stars line. You go 12-0. If you go a perfect 12-0. You have a chance to win the progressive bonus of over $25,000. It's a great game. I love it. I've tried my hand at DraftKings, FanDuel, the sort. Not a fan. DFS is great. By the time you're listening to this episode, their new app may be out in the App Store, so look out for that for you mobile guys. When it is officially out in the App Store, I'll be tweeting out a link to it, so stay tuned for that. All right. That's it for the episode sponsors. The New York Giants are 2-2, Weiss. How you feeling?
Gotta feel good, right? You gotta like what you saw the last 2 weeks.
Yep.
The last 6 quarters. I won't say the last 2 weeks, but last 6 quarters, and they're 2-2. Their season is still alive and feels good.
Yes, it does. I guess let's start my updated, I'll say updated. My record in picking the Giants win-loss, I am 3-1 this season. I had them losing weeks 1 and 2, winning week 3, and then last week I said that they were going to lose. I was wrong. Not only was I wrong, I was very wrong.
So I'm 3-1 too.
Okay.
Had them losing the first 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Had them losing to Tampa.
To the
they
Bucks,
won
yep.
that one. But I thought they would beat the Redskins last week.
Yep. I mean, again, you gave your story last week about the dysfunction of the franchise, and to be quite honest, I don't think that story was dysfunctional enough to do justice to how bad that organization is. I mean, you look at what's going on over there. You put in Dwayne Haskins unprepared in the middle of the game against the New York Giants, who have Daniel Jones starting. I think, he had 2 interceptions?
Yeah, 2 back-to-back interceptions.
Back-to-back interceptions, 0 points scored against one of the worst pass defenses in the league, only to turn around this week and say that you have no plan as to who you're going to play at the quarterback position against what, in my opinion, is the best defense in the NFL this season, the New England Patriots. I mean, what a disaster. That's going to be an absolute disaster. They're going to get shut out. I don't see how they're going to score any points unless the Patriots are up so much that they put Stidham in and he just gifts them points.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to, you know, spend the entire episode talking about the Redskins. Even
well, we can shit on them. You know, division rivals.
I'm saying we can definitely allocate an entire episode to that. But I'll just say this about what the Redskins did. It made absolutely no sense. If your leash was that short with Case Keenum, why not just prepare Haskins the entire week as a starter? I mean, Keenum didn't look good. I mean, he had the pick on the first drive, overthrew a couple of guys. But they, I mean, if the leash was that short, you just should have just played Haskins from the start, let him get all the first team reps in practice. But, I mean, that's a rookie quarterback who may or might not be a franchise quarterback, but he's in a really tough situation. I don't know if that coaching staff is all in on him. I think that coaching staff is just, they're just ready to get fired, I think.
Yeah, they are.
I mean, you could just tell by the stuff that they say. And, I mean, for the Giants, they really just took advantage of a really bad team, and they flat out won. And I thought that game was over in the first half, even though it was still a two possession game. You just knew that the Redskins were just not going to be able to do anything unless the Giants literally just completely fall apart, which at times it looked like they would have. Daniel Jones threw those two picks. Mm-hmm. It was the fumbles, but for the most part, I thought that the Giants were just in control at halftime and the game was pretty much over.
Yeah, agree. I mean, listen, again, we're talking about the Redskins. They're dismal, but we shit on Dave Gettleman all the time, but I mean, there's no game that a GM can hang his hat on more than this one. I mean, DJ outplaying Haskins, a lot of his defensive guys finally stepping up again against the Redskins, rookie quarterback who's not prepared, zero wide receivers on that team. But Dexter Lawrence looked good. Baker looked good. Holding on to Janoris Jenkins looked good, even though it's the wrong decision. O'Shane Jimenez continues to rush the passer.
He looks good. He looks really good.
Of all the draft decisions that I've shit on for Dave Gettleman, there may be no one I was probably more incorrectly dismissive of than O'Shane, than the X-Man. I think of rookie pass rushers, I think he's Pro Football Focus has him ranked, I think, fifth maybe in pressures generated. So he's off to a great start. I mean, coming from a small school as Old Dominion, and you know the lack of competition he's going up against in college, you can't help but be impressed so far.
Yeah, I mean, it's actually the pass rush win rate for rookie edge rushers, and he's fourth behind Nick Bosa, Brian Burns, and Josh Allen, and he's less than 1% behind Josh Allen.
Yeah, so listen, you got to be happy about that.
And he's third amongst rookie sack leaders, behind Chase Winovich, Brian Burns with 2. Winovich has 3, and Burns has 2.5.
There you go. And still early, but you hope that progress continues.
Yeah, it's the theme of the defense,
right? Improvement.
Take steps forward, no steps back. And so far, the first 2 weeks, they were just all over the place. But the last 6 quarters, they have sort of taken the steps forward. And you know, I know people say it's just Washington, but again, when you're playing a bad offense, that's the type of performance you want from the defense.
Right.
Stifling, forcing turnovers, getting to the quarterback, and I thought they did a good job of that.
Definitely. I want to touch on Wayne Gallman.
Yes.
I like to say he's the forgotten one, the Jerry Reese's forgotten child.
Yes.
Sort of like Harry Potter, sort of locked under the staircase in his little bedroom. Never really given the chance because it was the year after he was drafted. The Giants take Saquon second overall. And a lot of people just forget. I mean, people are like, oh, it's Gallman. He's never going to be as good as Barkley. I mean, obviously. But this is a guy who was incredibly productive in his last 2 years at Clemson. Over 1,000 yards scrimmage each year. I think 1 year he rushed for 1,500 yards, putting up like 15 and 17 touchdowns his sophomore and junior years. I mean, this is a talented guy. And, you know, if you knew this and you've been paying attention, you know, even against the Redskins, who I was under the impression that their front seven was probably a bit underrated, that is yet to be seen this season. But I was not at all surprised at the performance we got out of Wayne Gallman. we don't have to get into the replaceability of running backs, especially with Saquon being fucking superhuman and probably going to be back in like 2 weeks from a high ankle sprain. We can touch on that too. But Wayne Gallman, utterly impressive. Loved what we saw out of him. And I really don't think that, I mean, listen, obviously no running back is going to be as good as Saquon Barkley, but in terms of the production, I think that we're going to get, you know, a good production from Wayne Gallman, not what we would normally get out of Saquon, but up there where, you know, his presence may not be missed as much as people think.
Yeah, I think Wayne stepped in and did a phenomenal job. There were some things that when I went back and I watched the All-22.
Oh, yeah, you're big All-22 guys.
I watched a lot of the defense, but I did watch some of Wayne Gallman snaps. I did see some things where I thought if Saquon was there, maybe that 3 or 4 yard run could have gone for 15, 20. But, yep. but I'm not gonna talk about that. But I think, yeah, Wayne Gallman got the most of his opportunity. He did the most with it, and got to be happy for him because, like you said, man, he's been around for a while, and he's been sort of just that hidden guy, the stashed guy, and he finally got opportunities, and he did a pretty phenomenal job. I was really, really impressed with Wayne Gallman. So. To me, it's about you got to eliminate the turnovers. Yep. The way he was carrying that ball, I was like, man, it's a matter of time this guy's going to fumble.
Yeah.
But he did a good job. But coming out of Clemson, I compared him a little bit to DeMarco Murray. Okay. And I sort of see some of that in Wayne Gallman's game. But I like him. I like him coming out. I think he's a viable backup behind Saquon Barkley. I think, you know, if something happens to Saquon, you know you can get production out of Wayne Gallman. I'm sort of surprised that they didn't bring in another vet back, but I guess that just shows how much confidence Gallman has, or that the coaching staff has in Gallman, that they're sticking to him as a sort of like a guy they're going to give, you know, 15, 20, maybe 25 touches to a game, which is right. Speaks volume of how much confidence they have in him.
Definitely. Unfortunately.
And John Hillman.
Yeah.
And John Hillman as well.
Unfortunately, probably won't be worth the 40% fab I spent on Gallman in fantasy football because of Saquon's immediate return. Immediate.
Yeah. And for the record, those were not light. That was not light running that Saquon was doing. That man was sprinting and cutting. I thought it was like, is he practicing? Like yeah. He was in a helmet. Saquon.
But it's funny because people talk about, oh, you know, it's the same injury he had in college and he was back in 2 weeks. And it's like, all right, well, that one was probably, you know, less severe if he was able to come back in 2 weeks. No, like this dude, he's not from planet Earth. He's just not from this planet. When he retires, they need to study his body for science. Because whatever is going on in his blood or his stem cells or other science-related regenerative things that I could mention now, I need that injected into my body. Because Saquon is superhuman, and I feel like if I was able to, like, take whatever powers he has, I could live until I'm fucking 200.
Yeah, it was remarkable seeing him. Sorry, dude, I just sneezed.
It's all right.
Saquon, superhuman, man. That's incredible that he's out here. But, I mean, some guys are just wired differently. I mean,
yeah.
I guess a lot of it's pain tolerance as well, and they probably have to protect him from himself. It was interesting. It was brought up today about how Saquon is so eager to play. Was so eager to play in that Patriots game, in front of Tom Brady, and maybe he comes back for that game. I think you and I both agree. He's not going to be playing Sunday. I think we can. You and I can both agree on that.
But for the Patriots,
Pat Shurmur won't. You never know.
You gotta hope. I mean, because that's. I mean, I think people look at, and you know, this goes for the Cowboys and the Bills. You look at, like, people, who have they played? They haven't played anybody yet. Fair. But you also have to look at the fashion in which they're winning these games. And the Patriots' defense is fucking dominant. Dominant.
It's the best defense they've had since probably 2004.
Probably.
I think. Yeah, I think 04. I think this is better than the 07 defense. That 07 defense was pretty good, too. People don't realize that because
they're probably the best offense defense was just in the league amazing. Right now. I mean, maybe the Bears, but like the Patriots are they're top 2 or 3.
Yeah, I would say the Bears and then the Patriots. But I mean, you can go either way with that. I mean, it won't have an argument for me. Mm-hmm. If Saquon is back by that Thursday night game, you know, not saying the Giants will win, but I think they're better with Saquon on the field than without him. So, yeah, it would be nice to have him back. But his sort of his recovery is pretty awesome.
Yeah.
They said 4 to 8 weeks. I think this might be a 3 week thing.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah.
Thoughts on Danny Dinero's second start?
It was a rookie typical performance, in my opinion.
You know what? I'll give him a little bit more, and because of the mistakes, because he was able to bounce back and he didn't look shook after he's thrown interceptions. He's right back in there. He's literally Eli Jr. I really think he's like too stupid to realize when like things are going wrong, so that he's just confident in himself all the time.
Yeah, he's nothing phases him really. I mean, it's crazy. It's like we were describing Eli, but there was a couple of wow plays that he made
when he converts the third and 13, and then the fourth and two. Like these are plays that when Eli Manning is quarterback, you automatically assume that the drive is done, and it's amazing that we can no longer assume that.
And it's crazy because there were two drives where I think they would have got points. There was that one where Ingram, I think it was caught an in route and took it like 30, 40 yards, but it was called back because of an offensive pass interference, which I think was complete BS.
Yes.
And then the second one was the fumble on the goal line by John Hillman, which I don't know why Hillman has the ball. It pissed me off, and I was about to go on a Twitter rant, but I was like, I was going to go on a Twitter rant, but then Jabril Peppers had a pick six. So it was right before that. And I'm like, Jones took him down the field, made some good throws, got him down there. It was on that drive where he escaped and picked up that first down on that third down run. And they're in the red zone. I'm like, okay, crowd is pumped. Just had a big play. Keep the ball in Jones's hands. Let him throw. Let's score points. And you're handing off to John Hillman. That doesn't make any sense to me. Mm-hmm. If it was Gallman, it's a different story. But listen, I'm not going to get too much caught on that. But to me, that's one of the issues with Shermer's. I think a little at times he's a little bit too aggressive, but then at other times he's like super conservative. And this type of conservative didn't make any sense because you're running the ball with the guy that was on a practice squad last week in the red zone. Put Gallman in there or keep the ball in Jones's hands. It didn't make sense. You could put the team away right there. They turned the ball over, and luckily Haskins threw a pick six, but that could have been a huge turning point for them. Mm-hmm. And if this type of situation happens in another game, maybe the results are different. So I didn't like that play calling there in the red zone. The crowd was pumped. Everybody was pumped. Jones just escaped. You're in the red zone. You have a chance to go up 24-3. Man, just go for the win. But that was one negative with the coaching staff that I didn't like. But other than that, I mean, like I said, I felt that this with Jones's performance, a lot of it was just a rookie playing mistake-free football. It was sort of like a game manager type performance. It was like, okay, we know the Redskins are not going to do anything offensively. They're beat up. Mm-hmm. Their coach is ready to get fired. Their offense is in shambles. They don't even know who their quarterback is. We got some points. Let's play mistake-free football, and let's walk out of here with the win. They made some mistakes, but the defense got a big touchdown on the pick six by Peppers.
Yep.
Who, by the way, I think played his best game of his career.
Oh, yeah. The pride of Paramus Catholic. But, again, you know, against Dwayne Haskins, I can't even name a receiver that was on the field for the Redskins. So, again, you like to see the flashes, but let's remember who they're playing here.
Yeah, but I think we're not taking anything away. You want to see that type of performance against the offense that's struggling.
But now let's do it against Thielen and maybe Diggs.
Yeah, we're not asking for a type of performance like that where you hold them to under 200 yards of offense and they only scored 3 points. But let's not take a wide amount of steps back. Let's continue to improve.
Exactly. Let's do it against the Vikings.
Yeah, let's have a good defensive performance against the Vikings. Let's not have those communication errors and guys getting beat. Let's not have that. Let's continue to get pressure on the quarterback. Let's stop them from running the football, and let's get some turnovers. And that's what you want from them as these next 10 days approach, where we'll sort of learn a lot about this team.
Yeah. You went ahead and watched the All-22 on the Giants defense this week. What did you see? What did you like?
Janoris Jenkins, one of his best games. And we give Janoris a lot of slack, but there's not a lot of guys in the league who are asked to travel like he is, as much as he is. Like, 'cause there's a lot of pressure on him. Secondary is tight. You know, the safeties are not the strongest. He's playing alongside a rookie. Every week he's going against the other team's number one receiver. So he's asked to do a lot. And that doesn't mean that his Tampa Bay performance was inexcusable, because I think at times in that game he didn't seem interested.
Yeah.
But that performance, if we get that jackrabbit the rest of the year, it's going to be a huge plus for the Giants defense. Other notes, I really do think that Dexter Lawrence is starting to become more of a three-down player. I think his pass rush has improved a lot. He causes a lot. We know what he can do in the run game, mm-hmm. but he causes a lot of problems. The whole interior of the Giants defensive line, just from start to finish, just dominated Washington. And they're missing, like, I mean, I couldn't name you their offensive line. Right. They're missing just about all five starters except their right tackle, Morgan Moses. But the Giants' interior, the defense, they just dominated them from start to finish. I'm just really, really impressed. The loss of Ryan Connolly, man, he was playing so damn well. Like, and his future's still bright. I think he can still come back from this injury.
Yeah, most do.
Yeah, I think he'll be fine for his future, and he's still a rookie. But, damn, losing a guy like that, it just sucks, because he was moving up so quickly, and he had already taken the role of calling plays. Which, for a fifth-round rookie, I mean, that's insane.
And that's where it hurts the most. That's where it hurts the most, is you lose a guy to a season-ending injury who, week one, 2020, you want as your starting middle linebacker. And that experience on a defense as inexperienced as the Giants is crucial to the development of a guy like that. And not that, the Giants won, and that was all great. You just see a guy like him who, I think, universally, the fan base was excited about and liked the pick, just go down with a non-contact injury. It just sort of sucks the wind out of whatever happiness you're feeling about a Giants win.
Yeah, and he was getting a lot of, national media attention as well. I mean, this is a fifth-round rookie who was stepped in calling plays on the defense.
Yep.
It was just really, really impressive how he came in, and he played such a hell of a game. But to see him go down just absolutely sucked, man. It's going to be a loss. It's going to be tough to replace him. He was the team's best linebacker.
Yep.
But you're going to have to see if Tay Davis can do anything. We know who Alec Ogletree is at this point. We don't expect him to make some monster leap. Maybe that guy that called off the practice squad, Tuafasa.
Yeah, Troy Polamalu.
Yeah, I don't know who he is, but
he's got the hair.
Maybe he can provide something. He did make some plays in the preseason, but Giants are really, really beat up at that linebacker spot. And to finally have a guy that we drafted and looked like was going to be a solid player at the very least just go down like that, absolutely sucked.
And we'll get into it a little bit, but that lack of linebacker depth is going to fucking kill them against the Vikings because Dalvin Cook is back with a vengeance this year. Yeah. And you get him in a space against whoever the Giants linebackers are going to be, it's going to be bad news bears. It's not going to be good.
Yeah, and then the Vikings like to throw a lot of screens.
Yeah, exactly.
So
it's going to be
it's a loss. They're very thin at linebacker. But just again, it's on the bright side. I mean, you're looking at a way to stay positive, well, it's another opportunity for another young guy to show what he can do.
Right.
And maybe we find out more about Tay Davis or whoever that guy was they called up from the practice squad.
Yep. All right, looking ahead. Vikings, Patriots, both within 10 days.
Yeah, I mean, right on our little agenda, it pretty much sums it up. This is the most important 10 days of the Giants season. We'll learn a lot about them. I think if they can come out of this 10 days at 3-3, it's a huge win. I think we can both agree on that.
Yep.
4-2 would just be, I mean, raise the banner right now, right?
Yeah. Listen, if they go 4-2, we're planning the parade.
Yeah, we might as well just plan the parade now. But honestly, if they can get one of these two games, most likely the home game against the Vikings, because
that's what they're going to need.
To me, the Vikings are just, they're really screwed up right now.
And that's what
this is a team that went. No, it doesn't really scare me. It's because Kirk Cousins doesn't scare me. Is there a bigger fraud in the NFL than Kirk Cousins?
Trying to think. The league's got a lot of frauds.
It does.
Kirk is top three.
Yeah, Kirk Cousins to me is the biggest fraud in the NFL. Living in the D.C. area, just this, and I always thought that they should have locked him up earlier than before it got to they franchise tagged him like four times.
Yeah,
I felt like the first time they could have got him for a cheap number, and probably by now if he wasn't the, like we're talking 3-4 years ago, so right. They could have definitely,
you know, been, at that point.
Yeah, exactly. But the Vikings are just in a tough spot. They don't have cap space. They have a great defense. But their offense, they have so much money invested in Thielen and Diggs, who didn't even show up to practice today.
Yeah.
We don't even know if he's going to be on the team or let alone play Sunday.
That's going to be a gift if he doesn't show up Sunday. Yeah. Because I'm of the opinion that a team like the Vikings that just came off as bad of a loss as they did is going to come back with a vengeance. And you said it, Dalvin screen passes. Dalvin Cook is back with a vengeance. And then, you know, you got sort of an inexperienced defense and secondary having to deal with Thielen and Diggs. I just think that's a recipe for disaster, as bad as Kirk Cousins has been. You know, that defense is, I'm not going to call them amazing or even very good. They're good. They're quite good. But again, it's like a team coming off a loss that bad that Vegas has favored is 5.5 points on the road. I'm really scared for this one, and I'll actually be there this week. So if you're going to be there and you want to meet up for a beer, let me know. But yeah, I'm terrified. I'm terrified of what could happen.
See, the only reason I have some sort of confidence is because I'm not a believer in Kirk Cousins, and maybe the Vikings they have so much more talent than the Giants. And the Giants are playing a rookie quarterback. Maybe they do out talent the Giants. Maybe Daniel Jones throws 2-3 picks and the Giants lose this game. You know, but. It doesn't,
this is going to be his hardest test.
You think? I think next week is his hardest test.
I meant this far. Patriots on a short week on the road is definitely his hardest test, probably of the entire season.
But so far, yes.
Yeah, until they got to go to Chicago.
Yeah, I agree with you. This is the hardest test, and I think, listen, the Vikings, you say it's a tough time to catch them because they're going to be coming out with the vengeance. I actually think this is the best time to come to catch them. Their defense right now, I don't think there's a lot of Vikings players that believe in Kirk Cousins, offensively and defensively.
That's why Diggs is basically revolting.
Yeah, Diggs is ready. He's ready to go. He's following Bills players, Patriot players.
Stephon Diggs.
He's ready to go.
Yep.
And you know, maybe the Vikings are just crumbling and the Giants catch them at a good time. And Daniel Jones, you know, that defense, you know, it started because they're not buying into what the offense is selling. The frustration builds up. And maybe the Giants just get them this week. Who knows?
You never know. Maybe any given Sunday.
Yeah, any given Sunday. But I think I'm going to disagree with you. I think that this is the best time for the Giants to catch the Vikings right now. They're very low. They're drama filled. They're calling the wide receivers, calling the quarterback out. The quarterback is like publicly apologizing and begging for forgiveness from his wide receiver. Diggs is nowhere to be found. And their defense is great, but they have a lot of old guys in their defense. So I don't know. I think that the Giants should feel like they have a chance in this game.
Oh, definitely.
I think as a fan, I do feel like this is not a team that scares me as much as, you know, some other teams that the Giants face on the road. Like I think Green Bay is a tougher matchup. I think Chicago, even with Chase Daniel, is a tougher matchup.
Agree on both counts.
Than this home game against the Vikings, who are, in my opinion, they're sort of falling apart. And I could be wrong, but just from what I see and what I hear, when a wide receiver and a coach calls out the quarterback, and then another wide receiver goes AWOL,
yeah,
something is wrong. So you can throw just so many screen passes to Dalvin Cook before, you know, they stop you.
Yeah. Any other thoughts?
That's it on the Vikings. I mean, we'll learn more about this team. I think
you got a prediction.
I'm going to say the Giants win this game.
All right. I'm going to have this one as a loss.
I'm going to say 20-17.
Okay.
And I'm going to say Rosas kicks the game winner.
Wow.
Yeah. I think this is a game that, you know, the Giants defense, you know, I think they'll play well enough. Kirk Cousins will make enough mistakes. I think the Viking defense will do a good job. I mean, the Giants are getting Golden Tate back, who is an upgrade from what they had prior to while he was on suspension. I think he's better than Cody Latimer. I think he's better than Benny Fowler and TJ Jones and all those guys. So having him in there with Sterling Shepard and Evan Engram, who's off to a great start, I just think that the Giants at home, you know, the Vikings are not good on the road.
True.
Especially with everything going on with them. I think the Giants get them this week.
Okay. I have it as a loss. I guess we'll see. Speaking of getting Golden Tate back, what did you think about the Percy Harvin stuff?
You know, I saw that. I didn't watch the interview. It seems like that Seattle team, there's a lot of...
Yeah.
A lot of people didn't like each other on that team.
Yeah, Golden Tate was far from a model citizen as well.
We knew that.
We knew that. And for more reasons than Percy Harvin had stated in the interview.
Yeah, we'll leave it at that. Yeah. Yeah. I got you.
Yeah.
I think everyone got what you're saying.
Yeah. Yeah. Adultery. I'm trying to think. Is what it is. We got to hope that the Golden Tate of then is not the Golden Tate of now. And that was a long time ago.
Let's just hope Daniel Jones is not married. Or doesn't have a significant other.
Yeah, let's hope for everyone's sake. Okay, so we touched on that. What else are we going to talk about?
I think questions.
All right, let's do some questions. I got to pull it up here. Got a decent number of questions this week. Let's see what we got. Um, 21 replies. Let's see if any of them are actually good. For Monty, top three needs on this team currently. Well, number one is linebacker.
Yeah.
Number two is pass rusher.
Mm-hmm.
Number three is probably receiver.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I was going to say, and lucky for the Giants, there's a very good wide receiver draft coming up.
I'm going to say one for me is still edge rusher. I still think they need an alpha edge there, and if they get that, it will help mightily. Second, I'm going to say a linebacker. They need better linebacker play. And third is, I'm going to say they need another tackle. They need to get a young tackle there. A young tackle that they could start on the right side and eventually move to the left side.
Yeah.
So I'm going to say those are the three biggest needs. Two along the lines and one linebacker are the three biggest needs. I know people will point to receiver. I think they can get by one more year with this receiving core of Shepard and Tate, and then hopefully Darius Slayton can move forward. And listen, wide receiver is still a need. I just think that those three are more important for the Giants right now.
Yep. From Kyle, how much of a blow is it for Connolly to be out for the season on defense?
Huge blow, man.
It's terrible.
Just terrible. A huge loss.
How would you take a blowout loss at home to Minnesota from Jesse?
I'd be upset, I guess, right? I mean, nobody wants to get blowout at home.
Yeah. I think just in the grand scheme of things, it's not great, but again, like just because they beat a bad Redskins team and had a nice win against the Bucks, we can't sort of get ahead of ourselves, you know. Like the season is meant for growth and development. There are zero expectations. So
yeah,
you take whatever happens in the loss and you move on. You learn. You hope you improve.
Yeah, I think the perfect way to sum it up is we're gonna like our expectation is this is a developmental league, rookie quarterback, a defense that's a lot of young players rebuilding. So our approach is show us what you can do.
Yeah,
you know, if you can win 9-10 games and maybe sneak into as a wild card, show us. We're not expecting it, but we're not going to be upset if you go 4-12. You know what I mean?
Yep.
Our goal, I think, and I think I speak for you, is our goal is to exit this season having no doubts about the quarterback position.
Yes.
And if we can if that's our only goal, our only real expectation is let's leave this season knowing that Daniel Jones is our franchise quarterback. And so far, we feel good about it.
Yes.
But there's still a lot more left to play. Still some more boxes he has to check.
A lot of football left.
Yeah. But we wouldn't mind a 10-6 season and a playoff berth, right?
No.
There'd be nothing wrong with that either.
Do you think Jabril Peppers can sustain his play from last week, or do you think he'll regress back to into his week 1-3 form?
I don't think he'll go back to his week 1-3 form. I think the last six quarters, Jabril Peppers has played a lot better. But I guess this answers with anybody on the defense. You just want to see improvement and no major lapses in the development.
Right.
You want to see Peppers get better. We don't expect Peppers to be Ed Reed or Troy Polamalu. We just expect him to be a good player. And if he can put together more performances like he did against Washington, then that's great. But we just want to see him not take major steps back.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you're sort of at the point where you know what Jabril Peppers is, and you just need him to not be a complete liability.
Yeah.
From Kyle, do you still expect Janoris Jenkins to be traded?
I got to see where this team is by midseason.
I mean, I think yes.
You still think he's going to get traded?
Well, the question was, do you still expect? And to expect Dave Gettleman to do the right thing, we've learned not to do. I think.
You think they should trade him?
They should trade him. I don't know if they will.
But what happens if they're in playoff contention by the trade deadline?
I don't think that's going to happen.
But let's say they are.
Well, then no.
So you have to look at where you are by midseason.
Sure.
Yeah, then that I agree with. I think it's too early to answer that right now. We have to wait and see what comes out of the next. When is the trade deadline? Week 8?
Yeah, week 8 or 9.
We got to see where they are by then. But like 41% of the league is 2-2 or something. It's like I saw this crazy stat. Like there's three teams that are 3-0, and then there's I think it was 41 or 51% of the league that was 2-2, which is almost half.
Right.
So it's like a whole bunch of teams like in the middle of the pack. So who knows?
From Ben, what impact is Golden Tate going to have on the offense now that he's back?
Tate is a possession receiver
Yep.
who I think will help Daniel Jones a lot more than the guys that were playing instead of him did. I think he's a veteran receiver. He can still play. He's not Odell Beckham. But I think he's a guy that will help a rookie quarterback. And I know we brought up the other stuff earlier, but in terms of just on the field, I think he's a good receiver to have for a rookie quarterback. If you look past the contract and you look past all that stuff, just in terms of what he brings to the field, he'll help Jones a lot. He's fast, guy that can return kicks, good with yards after the catch. So I think he'll help.
Yeah, no big plays, but he'll help move the chains. That's going to be my answer.
And he might have some play. I mean, he's good with yards after the catch. He can make things with the ball in his hands. He's just not Odell Beckham.
Right. This is a great question from Tim. Quarter mark, MVP for offense and defense.
I think the MVP has to be Daniel Jones, right?
Yes, yep.
I mean, how can he not be?
Yep, that's the obvious one.
Defensively, the MVP...
My answer for defense is Ryan Connolly.
Really?
You know, well, in terms of expectations, you know, he was playing very, very well. It's unfortunate he went down. You know, it's tough to pick anyone in the secondary. You're going to go with someone along the offensive line, maybe X-Man, but it's tough. I mean, no one on the defensive line really stands out to me.
Yeah, given the MVP of the defense.
Oof. Tough. Uh-huh.
Oh, how about this? Who's been the MVP of the defense the last six quarters?
Okay.
We can do that, right?
X-Man? Dexter?
X-Man, Dexter, Conley, Baker, Jackrabbit.
I'll give it an X.
I'll say in the last six quarters, I'll say Janoris Jenkins.
Okay. What do we got? From Malcolm, do the Giants begin trying to implement Julian Love at nickel to give him some time on the field?
Grant Haley, I thought Baker and Janoris played a good game. Grant Haley got beat a couple times where it could have been a touchdown. I think Ballantyne, I don't know if their plan for Julian Love is to play nickel cornerback. I think they want to play him at safety. But, yeah, I think the film did not look good for Grant Haley.
Yeah. I think that's it. We got some other questions I think we touched on. But I think that's it for this week's episode. Any final thoughts?
I have no final thoughts.
I have some final thoughts.
Oh.
I'm looking at the Giants' schedule.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they lose to the Vikings. I think they lose to the Patriots. I think they
2-4.
Yep. I think they beat the Cardinals.
3-4.
I think they lose to the Lions.
3-5.
I think they lose to the Cowboys.
3-6.
I think they beat the Jets.
4-6.
I think if you had told me before week one, the Giants go into the bye week 4-6. With Daniel Jones having started 8 games, and he looks good.
And no Saquon Barkley for like 4 games.
And no Saquon for a few games. I think anybody in this fan base takes that in a heartbeat.
Yeah, I think the only people that don't take that are people that for some odd reason believe that this defense was going to walk in and be really, really good.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think everybody takes that.
I think you have to. I think you got to be thrilled with that.
And a lot of people say, like, their schedule, it's not an easy schedule. Like, outside of the Jets and Miami, a lot of those games are tough. Philly twice.
Yeah.
Dallas, Green Bay, Detroit.
Chicago. Yeah, it's not an easy schedule.
Not at all. They don't travel to the West Coast at all, right?
No. Thankfully, they don't. The most west they travel would be
when they went to Dallas, right?
Yeah. Or I mean, I'm not very good at geography. How far west is Green Bay? I mean, again, they're not traveling very far.
Yeah, I mean, just looking at it, I mean, outside of Arizona, the Jets, Miami, and Washington, those four games, I mean, you got the rest could be all playoff teams.
Yeah.
Minnesota, New England, Detroit, Dallas, Chicago, Green Bay, Philly twice. So it's a tough schedule remaining for the Giants. But we'll see what happens. Remember, the expectation is just to leave out of this season with a franchise quarterback. And I don't think anybody would mind a playoff berth or some magical.
Yeah.
I don't think anybody would mind that.
Not at all. But realistically, you get out of here with 6-10 with your quarterback of the future. Giants 2019 is a success.
It's very a success. Even if you go 5-11, you get out of here with the franchise quarterback.
That's a win.
It's a win.
All right. That's it for us. We're wrapping up. Follow us on Twitter at EthanGSN at NYG Daily. Follow the blog at GothamSN. Subscribe. iTunes, Audioboom, Google Play, Stitcher Radio, Spotify. Download Overlay DFS, play with me this week. I'll probably share my lineup on Twitter once I finally fill it out. Maybe I'll get a little cheeky and go ahead and do a Thursday night entry for the Thursday night game. That's all for us. We'll talk to you guys next week.
Peace.